from samgerins.com. Europe demoralised, invaded and violated. While the liberal media is working on damage limitation as the fairy dust on its childlike delusions is blown away by the harsh winds of reality in places like Cologne, it's time for European nations to ask themselves whether they believe in their own right to exist. Just because post-World War II European liberals have been culturally neutered doesn't mean that the armies of young men pouring in from Arab countries and sub-Saharan Africa have been too. The liberals are in denial at the dissonance between their thesis and actual reality, and engaged in damage limitation or simply blaming the victims to make up the shortfall. But rape and pillage, such as we have seen across Europe, is what invading armies do. It's what our invading armies do. Why should anyone else's be different? The young men themselves understand exactly what's going on, even if the fools around them do not. Meanwhile, the poor white Europeans are so afraid of calling a thing by its proper name, it requires second-generation imitations to do it for them. The idea popular, not least amongst liberal Europeans, is that Europeans' influence in the world has been an unmitigated evil. Associated with this assumption is another assumption, that any instinct towards self-survival amongst members of European cultures is evil too. While it is true that Britain, for example, along with other key European countries, had empires, and some, perhaps much of what these empires did, was bad, none of that loot trickled down to the common man. The reality is that Britain has been run by a banking cartel since the creation of the Bank of England, and its indigenous peoples have been mowed down in their millions in wars to fill the coffers of the rich. Untold numbers were also worked to death in fields and mines. While that was the business model, the people were incalculated with their sense of them and us, the clansman and the outsider, because it was useful to the rulers. Now, the ingenuity and hard work of European men is no longer such in demand. The known world has been conquered, and the banks own all of it, apart from a few holdouts, and those are currently being bombed. But the main job was pretty well done by the end of World War II. At that point, a new doctrine was handed down. Under this doctrine, Europeans no longer have any business being tribes. Wars, naturally, were not the fault of the banking oligarchy, which now owned the entire world thanks in main to the labours and gullibility of Europeans. No, wars were the fault of the European peoples themselves. So, rather than peoples falling neatly into friends and foes as they had before, the world was Dale Carnegie-ized. The new think dictated that if you simply refused to acknowledge any sort of differences between your group and anyone else's long enough, you could make friends and influence people until the world was a big, happy smorgasbord, all holding hands round a tree, singing Kumbaya and sharing a Coke and a smile. This, in essence, is what liberals believe. They think that if you pretend what you want to be the case is the case long enough, the lion will lay down with the lamb, and they will enjoy a nice vegetarian nut roast together. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Warm and cuddly and gooey. A bit like the denouement of a saccharine chick flick. But it has a problem, and that problem is that it's complete nonsense. Even our rulers have to admit this, because they, every now and then, via their own media, fire us up with nationalism in bursts whenever there's a need for a quick, or not so quick, genocide somewhere to take down a country, install a compliant central bank, and then get that country back to handing its assets over to the banks rather than to its own people. Then tribalism is fine. Limited tribalism during the World Cup is also fine since it gives the males a chance to work off their instinct to protect their own in a loud yet managed sterile and futile way. But the rest of the time, if you so much as notice differences between you and any other group, political correctness will leave you a social pariah, or increasingly lose you your job or send you to prison. What this means, we go back to the lion and lamb motif, is that you are now the lamb, and any teeth you had had been removed, and you secretly went vegan after reading some books Deepak Chopra lent you. And now, as you snuggle up next to the lion, your entire survival strategy is predicted on the lion having read the same books and feeling the same way about what he read as you do. If I want to go to New Zealand, for example, there is a process, quite a strict one, and if I turn up in that country without the correct documentation, then I will not be getting in. But not so in Europe, at least not now, and not for certain people. There are genuine asylum seekers in the world, and there's a process for assessing them. But that's not what is happening here. What's happening is that the European nations themselves are being kettled by their own government's policies and occupied by gangs of unknown young men, many of whom have simply joined the bandwagon because the word is out that Europeans have lost the will to fight. But porous borders and financial support when you get in do not extend to everyone. Almost 18,000 British citizens are denied access annually to their spouse to join them in the UK by the government if that spouse comes from outside the EU. So this compassion is extremely selective. The laws of legal physics have been magically suspended. The governments, whose primary duty and justification for existing in the first place is to maintain the integrity of a nation's borders, are seemingly helpless. I don't need mainstream media to explain to me what I can see happening. Anytime I see an army of young men marching into a foreign country in the face of supine defeated troops who've lost the will or the wit to fight for those people who pay their wages, then I know what's happening. An invasion is taking place. As usual, the justification for this insanity is the very compassion which has become both de rigueur and legally enforceable in all countries where noticeable numbers of Europeans reside, but nowhere else it seems. Our leaders have no scruples about murdering a million Iraqis or bombing Fallujah with phosphorus bombs or providing media and financial support for the eradication of the Palestinians. But now, all of a sudden, we're told to be squeamish. The doors simply must not be closed. We have to help. This newfound compassion and glaring contradiction should tell you everything you need to know. The fix is in. Europe is slated to be ethnically cleansed. No one voted for this. Few people want it, yet everyone has to pay for it. And until the governments do their duty and protect their nations from invasion, it's beyond me why there isn't a tax revolt. The wars against Syria and Iraq are criminal, and so is the dereliction of basic duty of the European governments to maintain the integrity of our borders. And those who are the decision makers in both scenarios are marching to a drum none of us have any part in beating. Thus, we're living under a tyranny, so let's just admit as much. Politically correct liberal insistence upon things being, in fact, how some in socialist think tanks might wish them to be, has gone beyond the point of tolerable insanity. It has the aspect of a death wish, of an enforced self-service, pay-as-you-go ethnic cleansing of Europe's indigenous peoples, and no amount of pleading the compassion card is going to diffuse this reality. If we're looking for causes of the crimes against Syria and Iraq, they've been found in the nature and acceptance of usury, and the policies of think tanks designed to further the interests of a very few people. The vast majority of European peoples did not create either problem. They certainly do not benefit from them. There's no reason why they should have to pay for them. My nation's forebears laid down their lives in their millions to defend their land. I do not believe I'm alone in regarding as pernicious, criminal, treacherous and evil that collusion between politics, education, media and business, which treats any instinct for survival amongst indigenous European peoples as a disposable and distasteful commodity. Voices of reason are coming to the fore. From Hungary and Slovakia, for example, we should listen to them.